Our reading this morning is from the book of John. Listen to what the Spirit is saying. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Now, Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
I'd like to begin this morning with a word of encouragement. This is our operational budget stewardship season. Foundry is not an endowed church. All of the mission and ministry that happens here happens because of the giving and financial commitments of our congregation, as well as the commitment of our time and energy and prayers. Our goal this year is a 10% increase in the number of people who make financial commitments or pledges to the church. We are at 60% of our goals. So to the 60% of our congregation who has already made your commitments, we are very, very appreciative. And we want to take a moment to encourage the other 40% to please turn in a commitment card. You'll find them at the end of your pews, or go to the website and make your pledge, your financial commitment for 2013, because we want to be able to continue as a church to be strong in our ministries of worship, our ministries of music, our ministries of learning, and our ministries of serving and social justice. So we appreciate your commitment. The popular song that has sold the most records ever is a song by the singer Rihanna. And the lyric of the song says, "We found love in a hopeless place." This Lent, our theme is places on our life journeys that can feel hopeless. Places where we can get stuck. Places like shame, addiction, grief, depression, powerlessness, death. And today, for a few moments, right here in the middle of this sacred oratorio based on the Passion according to St. John, we want to take a couple minutes, a few minutes, to think about grief. We can get stuck in grief. Grief can feel like a hopeless place. Grief is, of course, really about loss. It's loss that we can get stuck in. We usually think of grief as our reaction to the loss of a loved one to death, but grief is really our response to all kinds of losses. The loss of a job, the loss of a marriage that ends in divorce, the loss of kids who move out of the house and go off to college, the loss of our own youth as we begin to age, the loss of our health as we get diagnoses from our doctors and the labs. I have a friend who lost some money in the last big economic downturn. It's not like he actually needs the money to live on. He really wanted to have it so that he could give it away to support social justice work and church and charity that he wanted to support. But still, he grieves and grieves the loss of that money. It comes up almost every time we talk. 10 years ago, maybe, Foundry hosted a weekend conference on healing. And one of the workshops was about loss and grief. The workshop leader said that the loss of something in our life, whether it's the loss of a loved one to death, or the loss of a job to downsizing, or the loss of a career, whatever. He said the loss is not only about the loss of whomever or whatever it was we lost, but it's also about the loss of our dreams. If a spouse dies, he said, our grief is not only about the loss of our companion on a day-by-day basis, it's also about the loss of the dream of the retirement years that we had planned on together, the loss of the traveling that we had planned to do together, the loss of the dream of seeing our grandchildren graduate from college together. All loss, he said, is about whomever or whatever we lose, but it is also about the loss of our dream. It's about the loss of our wishes about how we thought the world was. It's the loss of what the theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer called our wish dreams about the world. We all wish and dream that we lived in a world in which the people we love do not get sick and die. Corporations and organizations do not downsize so that we lose jobs. Lab reports do not come back and tell us we have diseases. When we try to run as we get older and our left hip hurts, we think of a world in which that doesn't happen, our wish dream for a world in which we could run forever without our bodies getting sore no matter how old we become. All of our loss is about whomever or whatever we lose, but it's also about the loss of our wish dream about the way we fantasize and think the world ought to be. When we grieve, when we lose our dreams, when we lose our wish dreams, there are two ways to respond. There are really two ways to grieve. In the story from the Gospel of John about the death of Lazarus, who John tells us was Jesus' special friend, when it tells the story of how people grieve Lazarus' death, there are two kinds of tears in the story. There are literally two different Greek words used in the original text in John's Greek version of the story. In our English translation, they are both translated as the English word weeping, but in Greek, they are really two different Greek words. There are two kinds of tears in this story. When Lazarus dies, there are the tears that his sister Mary and the mourners from the synagogue who are with her, there are the tears that they cry. The Greek word is kleo. It is translated weeping, but it can also be translated as wailing. Kleo tears are tears of anger. They are tears of protest. They are tears that say, this is not the way the world ought to be. This is wrong. This should not have happened. I refuse to countenance this. I refuse to accept it. Kleo tears are our natural reaction to any significant loss in our life. It makes us angry. It makes us resentful. Pleo-tears are not bad because they often help motivate us to inspire us to do something to try to change things in the world that are not the way they think they ought to be. But if we get stuck in the grieving of Cleo tears, if we stay there too long, if we live in that place of angry grief too long, it begins to eat away at our spirit and our soul. Cleo tears, Cleo grieving is natural and not bad, but if we stay in that valley too long, it can turn us bitter and resentful and cause us to operate out of a spirit of trying to tear others down rather than to build up. In the story about the death of Lazarus, Mary cries Cleo tears, but when the Gospel of John says that Jesus was weeping, it uses another Greek word. It uses the word dikouro. This is the only place this particular Greek word is used in the Bible. Scholars believe that dikouro, Mary's tears, were tears of wailing. Scholars believe dikouro tears are tears of a deep inward weeping, not wailing, not protesting, but a profound, quiet, internal weeping. I want to suggest that dikouro tears are tears of surrender and acceptance. And I think part of what the Lazarus story is trying to say is that tears of anger are natural, are our very human reaction when our wish dreams are lost. But that tears of dikouro can lead to resurrection and new life. If we can move from anger to surrender and acceptance and determination, out of our grief and loss, we can find resurrection and new life. Any social justice movement that has impacted and changed the world probably began at a place of anger. But the ones that have really made a difference in the world moved to a place of love. Read the writings of Dr. King. Justice movements begin at a place of anger, but in order to transform the world, they need to move to a place of love. All of us face loss and grief in our life. Our tears of protest and anger and resentment are normal. And we need to live through them and pray that we can reach the place where we can surrender our fantasies and wish dreams about how the world ought to be to a place of surrender and acceptance, and then determination to make the world a place of justice and inclusion and love, not out of anger, but out of our conviction that this is the way that God is leading us and that God will be with us. Please bow your heads for a moment. Pray for the person on your left that whatever struggles in their life they're facing, that God might grant them the grace to find a place of hope and determination. Pray for the person on your right. And then pray for yourself that in your own struggles, you may be able to move from the tears of resentment to the tears of hope. Amen.